Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Life After Google, The Fall of Big Data and the Rise of the Blockchain Economy is a 2018 nonfiction technology and economics book by George Gilder. It argues that the digital order built around Google, big data, and centralized machine intelligence is reaching its limits and will be replaced by a more decentralized internet economy. Gilder frames Google not simply as a company, but as the emblem of an entire system that assumes information should be collected centrally, predicted statistically, and monetized through attention and free services. Against that model, he presents blockchain as the basis for a new repcosm and architecture that distributes trust, restores individual control over data, and supports direct transactions through micropayments. The book is speculative and polemical rather than technical, but it is intended as a broad diagnosis of where digital infrastructure and online business models may be headed. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Google as the symbol of a centralized big data regime. Gilder uses Google as the clearest example of an internet economy built on centralization, surveillance, and machine learning at scale. His criticism is not limited to search or advertising. It extends to the broader assumption that value comes from gathering as much user information as possible into one system and then extracting predictive power from it. In this view, the central database becomes both the source of business advantage and the source of fragility, because it concentrates privacy risk, security risk, and economic power in one place. The book treats this model as historically important but structurally unstable. That argument helps explain why the title speaks of life after Google rather than a mere competitor to Google. Gilder is trying to show that the real issue is a shift in the architecture of the internet itself, where centralized platforms may no longer be the most durable foundation for digital commerce or social organization. Secondly, the reep-to-cosm as a decentralized alternative to platform control. The most distinctive concept in the book is the reep-to-cosm, Gilder's name for a post-Google digital order built around blockchain and related decentralized systems. The idea is that trust should no longer depend on a single platform holding and controlling all records, but should instead emerge from distributed networks in which many participants share verification and storage. This architecture is presented as a corrective to the weaknesses of centralized cloud systems. If data and transactions are spread across many nodes, then no single database becomes an obvious target for theft or manipulation. The book also links this decentralization to individual empowerment, because users would have more direct ownership over their information and interactions. Gilder's case is not only technical but institutional. He suggests that a more distributed internet would reduce dependence on a handful of gatekeepers and create a digital environment closer to open market exchange than platform-managed dependence. Thirdly, micropayments as the economic logic missing from the free internet. A major thread in the book is the claim that the current internet economy is distorted by the absence of efficient transaction pricing. Gilder argues that so-called free services are not truly free because users pay through data extraction, attention capture, and surrender of privacy. In his account, this model encourages monopolistic behavior and undervalues the real costs of digital exchange. He therefore favors a blockchain-enabled system in which micropayments become routine. Small, direct payments would allow digital content, services, and interactions to be priced more precisely rather than subsidized by advertising and data harvesting. This matters because Gilder sees economic design and technical design as inseparable. A network that can handle tiny transactions cheaply would not only alter payment systems, but also make a different kind of online market possible, one less dependent on massive platforms whose main business is aggregation of user behavior. The book treats this as an efficiency question and a fairness question at the same time. Fourthly, security, privacy, and the risks of storing everything in one place. One of the book's strongest recurring claims is that centralized data systems create a structural vulnerability by making it easier for attackers to target a single repository. Gilder contrasts this with blockchain's distributed design, where records are not held in one place and therefore are harder to compromise at scale. This security argument is closely tied to his privacy critique. In a centralized model, the incentive is to collect, analyze, and retain as much information as possible, which leaves individuals exposed and weakens their ability to control how their data is used. The book presents blockchain not as a magical solution to every cyber problem, but as a different security philosophy, one that reduces reliance on trust in a single institution and makes mass failure less likely. At the same time, the argument implies a broader cultural shift. Privacy is not treated as a minor preference, but as a principle that should shape the architecture of digital systems from the start rather than be added afterward as a policy. Lastly, a visionary thesis that mixes technology, economics, and ideological critique. Life After Google stands out because it is not a conventional technical explanation of blockchain, nor is it a neutral business forecast. It is a broad ideological argument about the future of knowledge, markets, and human agency. Gilder links technological systems to assumptions about how the world works, especially the belief that the future can be modeled as a statistical extension of the present. He rejects that view and insists that human action, creativity, and entrepreneurship remain decisive. This gives the book a philosophical dimension that separates it from many books about cryptocurrency or platform economics. At the same time, this ambition also creates its main weakness: the book is more confident in diagnosis than in detailed mechanism. Readers encounter a strong challenge to big tech orthodoxy, but not a fully developed engineering blueprint. That tension is part of what makes the book notable. It is less a manual than a manifesto, written for readers who want a sweeping interpretation of why the digital order may be changing. In conclusion, Life After Google is best suited for readers interested in technology policy, digital economics, blockchain, and the long-term social effects of platform dominance. It will also appeal to readers who want to understand one of the more forceful critiques of Google-era internet capitalism, even if they do not fully accept Gilder's conclusions. The practical value of the book lies in how it reframes familiar issues such as privacy, transaction costs, monopolistic power, and data security as connected features of a single system. Its intellectual value lies in the way it combines economics, network theory, and cultural criticism into one argument about the future of the internet. Compared with many blockchain books, it is less a hype-driven guide to tokens than a sweeping challenge to centralized digital architecture. Compared with standard books about Google, it is more speculative and more ideological. That combination makes it distinctive. It is not just describing a trend, but trying to name an entire transition in the structure of online life. Readers looking for a rigorous technical primer may find it uneven, but readers interested in a bold, big-picture thesis will find it unusually provocative. If you would like to support George Gilder, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.